The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
This morning, we're still on the tough sayings of Jesus. It's been some great sermons. I have learned a lot through the sermons Jerry and Jeremiah have brought as well. They're hard, aren't they? And you know what? Jesus said them, so they're hard. And He said it was not going to be easy. But we can get through it with Him, through Jesus only. Amen? And here's another tough saying. And this morning, I will be reading out of Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 42. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 42. I'll give you guys time to get there because I'm trying to get there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 42 reads like this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here." The last verse, 42. "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and something greater than Solomon is here." Amen. What does all that mean? I don't know. We're going to find out. You know, that's pretty tough saying, what Jesus called them then, right? Over 2,000 years ago. A wicked and adulterous generation. You know, here you have these Jews. For thousands of years now, even today, I have great friends, pastors, leaders from other churches. Probably some of you here have been there to Israel. They made these trips to Israel. And these guys that take you through the tour, they know every site, quoting it from memory. They know the Torah. They know the scripture. They know all the events. These Jews. And they still don't believe in Jesus. They still doubt. They're still waiting for a Messiah to come. And here He came and left. We know that. They weren't getting it. They ain't getting it. And they're still ain't getting it here. Jesus over and over showed them great signs and wonders and miracles, His power. Even today, I see that a lot in Christians. We're doubting His power. We're just kind of just cruising and saying, "Well, I hope this comes through. I hope this happens." Well, geez, come on. Give them a little bit of more leeway. Jesus will make it happen. And because of these words that these people, these leaders, they were leaders, they're religious leaders. And it's funny, the Pharisees and some leaders, it says. If you read through a lot of your scriptures, go on the internet, type in Pharisees. They were always there at every event Jesus did, ready to nose them out and say, "You know what? No, you're not real. Oh, that couldn't happen. Let's see, show me something. Pull another rabbit out of your hat." These Pharisees, man, they were there at almost every event. Being Jewish, not believing that the King of Glory was right there before their eyes. So because they refused, Jesus said, "You will not get a sign here." "No, you ain't getting it." Some of us are praying for things, and sometimes you say, "No, you ain't getting it. Not yet, anyway. Not on your time. We need to work some things out. You're not getting a sign here." He still does that today. I've been praying for some things in my personal life as well, and I'm just going to wait. I'm going to trust. I'm going to work on that faith that I need to exercise and practice. And these Jews just want it. I like that verse because the first thing they say, we want, give me, my name is Jimmy. We always want something. They didn't even ask. They almost commanded him. They didn't say, Lord, you know what? Can we ask you for this? Can you show us? No, we want. That's our thing. We want it now. We've heard it millions of times. We're the microwave generational Christians, I believe. 2 seconds, bing, it's ready. Jesus doesn't work that way, folks. Sometimes he's going to draw it out for us. He's going to wring us out. Humble us through some things we go through so we can learn and remember and not forget where he brought us out of. And these leaders weren't getting it. So who was Jesus talking to? And I love topics like this, and I love when Jesus words it in a certain way that there are nuggets, mysteries hidden in God's word that we need to dig for and study and ask others and search, get on the internet. He said, a wicked generation. So was he just talking to them over 2,000 years ago? Because I talked to several people and they say, oh, you know what, Frank, that's great stuff, biblical stories, but it was just for them then. No, it applies all the time. And Jesus even went to Jonah and the Ninevites. That was in the Old Testament. He even used the Old Testament. Jesus went old school on them as well. So the Old Testament also applies for us now, for them then and us now as well. So who was Jesus talking to? Look at the word that I started studying on, which was, I wanted to know, who was he talking to? He said, a wicked generation. Generation. The word generation in the Greek is pronounced geneja, geneja. That's how I found it. Geneja, it's this. A type of person or a group of people, not a period of history. That's a good nugget to know. Okay, so he's not talking just to them. And it's also an infinity of time. This means in the Greek, an infinity of time if repeated more than twice. That's what that word generation means. If you keep reading through this, he says generation 3 times. If you read a few more scriptures past where I stopped, he says it 4 times. He mentions the word generation 4 times. So it crosses over the generational lifeline all the way to Cain and Abel and his treatment on his brother. So it wasn't just for them. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden up to a right now remnant on this Sunday morning. It applies to all of us. He's calling all of us a wicked and adulterous generation. That's a tough saying. What do you mean I'm wicked? I thought I was a pretty good guy. No, we're pretty wretched sometimes. I thought I was a pretty good person. Well, it's not by work, sorry. It's by faith. It's not how good you behave and the good deeds you do for people. No, it's your faith in Jesus, period. These leaders weren't getting it. And Jesus over and over showed them miracles. Just prior to this question they asked him, he healed the norm. He healed the blind man that was mute and had demons and couldn't even talk. That's pretty miraculous, don't you think? And they're still saying, we want. Pull another rabbit out of your hat. That wasn't a good enough fact, that man that couldn't speak and was demon-possessed. I was demon-possessed for many years in the lifestyle I led. A very dark, drug addict, vile, angry, violent man. I was possessed and condemned and living this ugly life until I believed. I didn't need to see anything. I wanted to see him. I wanted to see him work in me. And he wants to work in you. And he wanted to work in them. And he wants to work in today's generation. Gehenna. All tracks of generational lives, even the ones to come, young ones, you guys are the next generation. You guys are the next generation. It's for you too. You too, little one. It's for everyone. Jesus wants us to get it, just to believe in his power. And these leaders were dropping the ball. They must have had some bad eyes to see these miracles and still want to see something else. I wish my mom was here again. She would tell you, man, this guy was pretty bad, but wow, I can see what God is. She sees what God is doing. My sisters are seeing what God is doing. And that's how God works. If some of you knew me in the past, you would hate me, man. That proud, arrogant guy. Look at my karma running over him. I was bad. I'd walk in a room and, oh, here he comes again. Ugh. People hated me. And if they still do, I don't care. Jesus loves me. I carry Jesus' light now. We will have enemies. And it's okay. I'll pray for them. I'll try not to forget to pray, as Jerry says, and lay hands. It's going to be tough, guys, but you need to believe. And these leaders dropped the ball. They were dropping the ball. They had bad eyes. Why couldn't they see? My first thought before I even look at my notes is that they were crooked people. They were dishonest Christian leaders. Remember when they were going to turn Jesus in and they paid Judas to go tell him who it was? They made a meeting that night and not all the leaders were there. And they met secretly. Why? Where's all the leaders of the Sanhedrin? That's already a sign right there. Red light's going out. Something's wrong. It's sort of like this. I'm going to try to illustrate something here. Let's say there's three pastors here, and we need to talk to some of you or one of you, whatever the issue, and I'm not there. Or whoever, one of them's not there. And it needs to be dealt through the three leaders, and that person's getting robbed or cheated, and something's wrong there. All the leaders weren't there. There's a sign. Something's wrong. These guys were crooked. They weren't too honest, were they? Let's look at John 8, 3 to 4. Is it on there? John 8, 3 through 4. Look what it says. I don't have it here in my notes. The teachers of the law, and there they are again. Look, who's there? Those metiches. Metiches means those gossipers are always in everybody's life. Metiches, don't forget, there's another one. Write it down. The gossipers, I mean the Pharisees, brought in a woman, caught in adultery. You know the story. Come on, Jesus, let's take her out. We caught her. But wait a minute, hello. Takes two people to tango, right? Where's the guy? No, I'm on the red light. Something's wrong there. These leaders weren't too straight, were they? And I'm going to go out way on a limb. And I don't know who's going to hear this on the radio one day, a leader of the government seat or something, a political leader. We have a lot of corrupt political leaders, governments. I'm sorry to say, evil's everywhere. We need to trust Jesus first. These leaders were crooked. And it happens over and over. And I see that many people today have very bad spiritual eyes. But I can't see what God is doing. But don't give up. Quit whining. Get up and just keep trucking for Jesus. Very bad spiritual eyes. They walk around. A lot of them walk around. I'm good. I'm good. Their smile's all cracked up. Oh, my life is great. Bed of roses. No, it isn't. Share it. Open yourself up. Let Jesus get in there. Let the Spirit work in you through others. These guys just wanted a magic act. And a lot of people today still, I'll repeat myself, doubt Jesus' power. And I'll keep repeating myself, look, you know my past, and now look what Jesus is doing. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think or dream up of that I'd be standing next to two great pastors and preaching alongside with them with a great, wonderful church like you. And for God to use me to speak through me to you and through these men and through your lives. I speak with you, some of you personally. I text with you. And we talk about personal things. That's God's Spirit trying to work and mold and mend and heal and restore. But if you're walling up, you think you're going to carry it all yourself, it's not going to happen. You're doubting like these leaders. You just want. Just get on your knees and let God do the rest. You just continue faithfully, fight the battle. We're in a battle for our lives, our families, you name it. It's a battle you're in. You're a soldier now for Jesus. This is your boot camp. We're getting trained up for what? To go to heaven. This is boot camp, folks. Christians can't retreat. There's a Spanish saying that Christians don't have reverse. And I won't say that in Spanish because I got a lot of subtitle there, a lot of work to do. But you can't go back. It's forward, forward, forward. That's why the soldiers back then only had a shield, nothing to protect their back, because it's always forward. And sometimes stick your shield and get in there, let the enemy hit, get back up, pull your shield out, keep going, dig it in. Just don't stop moving forward. The minute you stop, the second you take a little step back, the second you turn your back, you're done, man. You're going to be done. You're going to be roast and toast and a spear in your back. It happened. It's happened to me. I've got arrogantly in my walk with Christ. You know the story. Walked away from my home, my family, and kids. And 8 months later, I'm right there crying to my wife, can I come back? It's true. God's power and her prayers, her faithfulness made me come back. The Spirit of God says, yes, Martha, I will bring your husband back. But right now, he wants to go waddle in the mud and doubt and fake it till he makes it. As they say, go ahead. I'm going to let him. But on my time, he's coming back. That's where it's at. That's where the rubber meets the road. How tough are you? How strong is your belief in Jesus? Don't see what's in front of you. Just keep looking forward and up. Jesus can do it. There's nothing he can do. And these guys just wanted to see right here. We want to see right now. They just wanted to see another quick magic fix trick. Oh, that was weird. Whatever that means. These leaders, man. My question is this. These people were looking for a quick magic trick fix. There it is. That's what I wrote from Jesus. It's seeing people aren't looking for Jesus. They're looking for a sign instead of for the Son, Jesus. We're looking for a sign instead of the Son, Jesus. It all comes back to Jesus, folks. This Easter event that's coming up, a lot of churches are doing the Passion of Christ, you name it. It's all about Jesus dying and resurrecting for us to die and resurrect one day. But right now you're called to live for him, period. And these leaders weren't getting it. And my next question was in my notes is, why did Jesus mention Jonah and the Ninevites? Huh? Why did he go to the Old Testament? What does Jonah have to do with any kind of miracle? Well, he went all the way back because what happened there? He didn't want to go, first of all. Oh, you're crazy, God. I'm not going to go in there. There's a bunch of Syrians in there. That's what they were. The Ninevites were Syrians. And guess who their God was? The fish God. They believed in the fish God. They had these huge turbans. I'm going to go out on a limb again. They're white. They kind of look like a fish head, which was shaped in a fish head because their God was a fish for the Ninevites. The Pope wears those. That's what they wear. Same thing. I'm not knocking any other church, any other religion, but it's all biblically studied by scholars. That's where I took it from. We do our homework here, folks. I love Remnant because we get down to the nitty-gritty. I love it here because the Bible is preached, and we get into this Greek. We need to learn the Greek and Hebrew. Don't just read it flippantly. If you get stuck in some of these words, ask, dig, look for it. Biblos on the internet. I've told people all the time, use Biblos. B-I-B-L-O-S, Biblos. There's a bunch of info for free on the internet. And that's what these guys warned that believed in the fish God. And the whole city, when Jonah finally got there, God threw him in the fish, then brought him to the shore. Guess where he was? Oh, I'm in Nineveh. I didn't want to be here. This is a crazy Assyrian's going to kill me. No, no, no. God had another plan. When it looks impossible, it's possible for God. And he made it possible for one man to go into this Assyrian city that could have had him killed instantly. And he opened his mouth like many of us struggle to do. For Jesus, he opened his mouth through God's power and spirit, and the whole city got saved. Imagine some of you, or one of you that lives in Imperial, you got 50 people in Imperial knocking at your door, and for some weird reason you start talking about Jesus, they all get saved. You'd be like, wow, that's cool. No, that's God's power. He's going to show you wondrous things. He has shown me wondrous things. This is going to not even be in my notes and sound the left field. When my wife was dying and she took her last, it was wondrous. It wasn't ugly because God said death is not ugly. It's the greatest thing. It's the better on your day of death than your day of your birthday. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. If God said it's beautiful to die, it's beautiful to die. And a lot of us are afraid to die, but it's better that we do because we're going to a better place. I'm tired of this tent I'm in. It always wants to do the wrong things. And it always wants to act like these crooked leaders doing the wrong things, kind of lying and fibbing, being lazy or whatever. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a translucent light for Jesus. And you too, that's what he's asking you to do. Trust me, little one. I love you. I can do it. I can do it. Just hang in there a little longer. A whole city got saved. And why the queen of the south, an Ethiopian lady with power and money, she went a long way. Why? Just to she heard about God and these sayings and the Torah and the Old Testament. She goes, I got to go meet this man. Wow, what powerful. I want to go bring him gifts. She brought him all that she could before Solomon. Donald Trump was nothing next to Solomon. Nothing. He was a million times of what Trump has because God gave it to him. And here comes this lady from the south, possibly even a black lady, some of the scholars I read into. Here she comes, talk to me about this God. And Solomon would give her all this wisdom because this queen of the south was very intelligent, not only powerful and rich, she was a very smart woman. Like some of you are very intelligent, but Solomon blew her out of the water with the songs of Solomon and the wisdom God gives. He gives you all that same wisdom, but you gotta put it into practice. You got to believe it and live it and apply it. That's where it's at. And this lady from the south, just wow, blown away. And she brought him all these gifts. She listened to Solomon and all the wisdom God gave him. Why these two groups of people? That's my next question. They weren't even Jews, first of all. Second of all, they didn't believe in God. One group had a fish god with those big weird hats. You guys ever seen Bonanza, Haas, that big tall hat? Kind of like that. But taller, I think. They believed. You know what God did here? He took two different tribes from two different directions and he blew the Jews out of the water by illustrating his power by them believing in a God they've never seen or heard of. They made the Jews look like shame to the game. And they didn't care. Oh, we're religious leaders. We know what we're talking about. We don't care about no Queen of the South. We don't care about Jonah. We want it now. We want to see it now. What a lie. What a lie. These Christian leaders not only didn't listen, but they didn't recognize Jesus was their Savior. They were too busy looking for a sign instead of looking for the Son, Jesus Christ. And God has been sending messengers after messengers after messengers after messengers. 2,000 years ago till today, some of you have heard many sermons here from us. Sermons elsewhere at other churches, at parks, at other events, over and over. They're the same stories, guys. I have a favorite pastor, my favorite pastor on the radio. The number one for me that I listen to a lot is Dr. Tony Evans. This guy's been preaching for over 30 years, and I've said this before. This is his testimony. He's been preaching for over 30 years, Monday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. Eight topics, all different sermons, just eight topics. He comes back to eight, goes back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2. You're going to hear it over and over, and these leaders didn't get it. Are we getting it? Getting it? Are we trusting? Are we going to let God move? Are we going to just let some things go and give it to the Lord? Can you? Yes, you can. You just got to make that choice. God is a good God. He doesn't force himself. He'll let you choose. He's not going to force you. He's good. He says there's life and death. There's your choice. You choose. You want to live for me or you want to live for yourself and for whatever else is there. He lets you choose. You can't find a better God than that. All the other gods had rules, regulations. Not this God. Not our God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Elohim, Yahweh, powerful, almighty God. Omniscient. He knows it all. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. What more do we want? We have the King of Glory living right here. The creator of everything we see and hear, living right here in you. Let him work in there. Let him work in there. Now I can get to my first point. And I have 10 minutes to do it in. That was the intro, by the way. I got 10 minutes to do 3 points. I'm going to go really quick. So what do we need? Point number one, we need spiritual eyes. We need spiritual eyes to see. Matthew 6:22 says this. Jesus is speaking. First point, we need spiritual eyes to see. Matthew 6:22 says this. The eye is a lamp of the body. If the eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. Here we go with the Greek. Why did he say that? What did he mean by good eyes? This is good eyes in the Greek. What he said then and means now, even then. Haplous. It means haplous, Greek. Haplous means simple, sound-minded, not double-minded, not secretive. You know what double-minded is? I never really knew what it meant. You know what double-minded means? When you want both things, but you can't have them. You can't have both worlds. And it's not secretive. When you're using your eyes, you're not, no one can see me here. No one's watching. God is watching. That's a strong accent. Watching. God is watching. We've got to have good eyes, folks. And your whole body will illuminate. There's several times I walk into a place. I went to get gas and coffee this morning at the Big John's on Adams. There's a lady at the cashier and a guy that was talking to him, pumping all that cream in my coffee. I told someone earlier. So I go to the cashier and she's talking and she stops and looks. This is the third time this has happened, that same store, three different people. And she looks up and pauses. She goes, oh, it's $2.79. Are you a Christian? I just smile, go, yeah, I am. And Jesus loves you and walked out. They'll see it. If you're praying, if you're fasting, if you're suffering and struggling for Jesus, people will see it. You're like magnets. It's like a light and bugs. I heard a pastor say bugs are attracted to light. And God's going to bring you people you can minister to. Be that light. Let your whole body glow. And I boast in Christ when I say my stories about myself. It's all about Jesus and what he's doing in me. I still need a lot of work. And what did he mean by light? Something that illuminates. In the Greek, it means, it's pronounced photinos, light. I want to know, well, what light am I full of? Illumination, something that reveals, revealing truth, a revelation. I'm revealing up to here what God has done, does, and will do in my life, your life, and biblically, then and now. You're hearing revelation from God's word. That's what good eyes means. What are spiritual eyes? What are spiritual eyes? To see what God wants or the needs of others. Not what's for you, what's for others. And what God is telling you to do. And we're fighting that battle. Oh, I don't want to do that, God. We're fighting it. You can fight and wrestle all you want until you make that choice, that decision to say, okay, God, you win. I'm going to give it to you. And watch him work. Let him give you those good eyes and show you wondrous miracle signs. You want to see some miracles? Give it all to God. Give it all to God. Second point is this. We need to see the creator, not the created. See, in verse 38, the first thing these leaders says is, we want to see. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'm going to keep pumping that in you so you'll hate Jimmy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, don't hate Jimmy. If there's any Jimmys in the room, please forgive me. You're awesome. God loves you and so do I. We need to see the creator. These guys had Jesus right there doing these miracles and they weren't getting it. They weren't seeing it. What blind man? Showed them wondrous miracles. Mark 8, 7 through 19. Did I put that one on there? I don't have it on my notes. Aware of their decision, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and the ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, hello, when I broke the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets and pieces you still picked up? He took a little bit of bread and fed thousands of people and they still had leftovers. Listen, you're going to go through stuff and he's going to fill you. You're going to have leftovers. Why do I get up every morning drugging and still smiling? Because I'm getting leftovers from Jesus and it is his power moving in me and it's the power that wants to move in you. You got to give it to him. He will empower you. I already hit 50, man. But I feel like 20 or 30. That was a cool skip, huh? I think I wanted to be a ballerina one time. No, I'm kidding. Scratch that off the recording. I've always wanted to be a drummer, and it's obvious. I'm a man. He empowers you. He gives you energy. The Bible says he'll restore your years. He'll add more life to your life. People think I'm 36. I'm going, well, I wish. That was a good year, though. No, I'm 50. No, you're not. Yes, I am. We start arguing about my age. Hey, I'm 50. I have to go like this. Oh, yeah, I see it now. Yeah, you're 50. He gives me this energy, and he can give you that same energy. Man, after playing drums, I'm pumped. Now I know why Jeremiah says, Frank, we got to get a drummer when you preach because you're already pumped. And after drumming, you're even more pumped. I just wanted to play with my nephew today. I'm sorry. It was the first time him up here, and I wanted to be blessed to worship with my nephew. Because I told them, amen, give God the glory. When my brother-in-law and sister were restored in their marriage and they started coming here and their son was playing guitar, I told them, God's going to use him in worship. And look, I believed it. You got to claim it and believe it with people also. Don't doubt. It's going to prolong sometimes and you can't see it, but it can come. And it might not come sometimes. I know that. Trust me, I know that. I really thought my wife was going to make it through, and she didn't. And I give God the glory. He knew what he was doing, and I didn't. Little did I know he had to work in me. And he's still going to work in me to preach about my wife and my situation and what God does and did and will do. Hebrews 13:6 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's not in my nose. It's just coming out. He's never going to change. We're going to change and just keep going forward. Keep going forward. These guys just wanted the creative things. They had bad eyes. What does bad eyes mean in the Greek? Jesus used this word, poneiros, bad eyes. It means this, bad. That was an easy one. Slothful. It means to be envious. And this last one, to cause trouble. That's what this word he used. These leaders had some bad eyes. Some of us can have bad eyes sometimes. We can see someone and judge them, start talking about them, call it what you want it. We shouldn't be doing that. It happens at my work a lot. They'll bring me stories. I go, oh, you know what? That's between you and that guy. Please step out of my office. I don't want to go talk to the boss. You want me to pray for you? I'll pray for you. I'll lead you in scripture, but I will not be judging someone else. If that's something that happened between you and him, go talk to him. Go take it to the boss. I will not take sides with people. I will stand on what God's word says always. People, some of you talk to me, I go to scripture. You have to go to the scriptures. This is where the light comes in. And it starts illuminating. I never thought I'd be counseling people, marrying people. It came off from God's word because he's illuminating things we don't see. Amen? These leaders had some bad eyes. They failed to recognize the King of Glory was before them. God will always reward those who follow him. God will only give on his time and not yours. God is always pleased. Listen, God is always pleased when we trust him and put our faith in him. Third point is we need to be the generation of faith. We need to be this generation right now, us, we need to have faith. Don't see by what you think you're seeing. Go on faith. Faith means you go in blindly. Faith means it's something you're hoping for. You can't see it. That's in, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 13 or somewhere in there in chapters. You got to not see it. Just follow what God would do. You can't see it. One day we will see God. We will be right before his throne. And he has every right to judge us because he gave us the life we lived. It's going to be a big court session for all of us. But he wants right now your faith to trust in him. These leaders just wanted something. They were basing their faith on what they can see, not how they should live. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. And I'll close with this verse if the worship team would come up. Hebrews 11:6. Memorize it. I did 13 years ago when I came to Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Emphasizing diligently. That's the hard part. Practice the word diligently. That scripture was just ingrained in me. And God is just using that in my life. I can't forget who I serve. I can't forget the wondrous miracles he's done. I don't want to forget the wonderful wife he gave me and what she went through and what I could testify about. It wasn't about her ugly death. It wasn't about my suffering and being alone. It's about giving God the glory right now for what's taking place and had taken place. Everything that happens to us is to give him glory. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about what God wants you to testify to people about him. It's always going to be about Jesus. It's not about you. Get over yourself. I had to. And if this guy could, you can too. And if you're over yourself and you're praying and interceding, thank you. Glory to God. It's not about you being a great soldier on your knees all the time. You're glorifying God. You need to glorify God. Is this what I put? Most of us own the Bible, huh? Most of us. But we don't let the Bible own us, do we? We own the Bible, but do you let it own you? Have you given yourself to it and to what it says? I'll close here. You can't take Christ out of Christian. You're going to like this one. Why can't you take Christ out of Christian? Take Christ out. What do you have left? I-A-N. Ian can't help you. Ian can't help you. It's Christ. You need to have Christ to be a Christian. Ian can't do it. Your job can't do it. Yourself can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Those other people that are giving you counseling can't do it. Christ can do it. You can't fix your own marriage. You can't get that raise. Your children won't live for Christ if you don't show them. If you don't show that illumination that Jesus lives in you. Let's stand up and pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You